Hello and welcome to the next installment of the Interviews for Shopology, where we are bringing you in-depth conversations with the leading minds in retail, from practitioners to consultants to other retail academics. I'm Dr. Jason Palin. I am the co-host of Shopology. I'm also a senior lecturer in Swinburne Business School. Today, I have the pleasure of chatting to Rajan Kumar, who is the co-founder and managing director of The Loomery, who are a group that do a lot in the MarTech space. He's also a Swinburne alum, which gives him really bonus points for me. So welcome, Raj. Thanks for chatting today.
Hi, Jason. Yeah, no worries. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So look, start us off. Tell us a little bit about your personal journey and then what led you to founding The Loomery and sort of what you do in that space.
Yeah, look, as you said, I studied at Swinburne. I did a marketing degree with some multimedia thrown in there for good measure because, you know, I was into kind of digital and all those sorts of things. And coming out of uni, I really wanted to get into, advertising, but more in the digital space. And I took a kind of keen eye to the idea of building apps and websites and those types of things. So that's kind of where my career started. Smallish agencies, doing web development type projects and that sort of thing. And then I went into working for companies that really focused on helping marketers harness data, primarily for the purposes of direct marketing, and supporting them as they, you know, made that shift from traditional DM into email, and you know the original concepts of personalization, you know, hi first name. Started to become a thing. But that led me to being in the kind of the MarTech vendor space, working for technology companies who were bringing tech and software to support marketers through this journey of relationship-based marketing, personalization at scale, really being able to deliver customer experience, you know, through the use of data and technology. And I spent, I guess, the good part of 8 or so years in that world, but primarily, again, working with customers on helping them get the most out of that technology. What that helped me kind of understand and think through in my own head and my fellow co-founders was that there was this plethora of technology now available to organizations, to marketers, that, you know, on the surface, the promise was this will help you deliver the ultimate customer experience and deliver growth and results for your brand, which is true. But the reality is that it's quite difficult. It's really hard, right? This stuff isn't easy. And from where I was standing, there wasn't a lot of options for brands, for organizations that they could go out and seek support. You know, whether it's that kind of consultancy support, hands-on agency style support, but really this in-depth understanding of how MarTech works and functions, irrespective of the vendors, you know, kind of in an agnostic way. So that led us to start The Loomery. So we started The Loomery about 4 years ago, really with the sole purpose of helping brands, you know, bridge this void of MarTech, which can be a really confusing, noisy space, bridge that void and help them connect better to their customers, through the use of data and technology. So, yeah, fast forward 4 years, we're 50-odd people, an end-to-end kind of offering from strategy, consulting, creative, execution, but very, very focused on helping brands solve the challenges that MarTech brings. But more importantly, really take advantage of the opportunities that's in front of them in relation to their customer.
Yeah, really cool journey. I mean, you mentioned there, you know, how much things have evolved even in that short time, you know, personalization being from hi first name to now really truly needing to understand individual customers, what they've purchased, what they like, the communication style they interact with. I mean, through all of that journey, I guess from your perspective, what do you see now really as that the role or the function that marketers are actually playing? Because it seems to me it has expanded so much to now being needing to be across technology, needing to be across data. And that's a lot of what you're doing in your in your role. So where have you seen the industry and that role evolve?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember studying marketing and I can't even remember if we did any subjects or topics that focused on, you know, the use of data. I wasn't at uni that long ago. And clearly it's changed now, which is awesome, right? But data is at the core of most marketers' jobs. Now, granted, you know, there's a lot of stuff that still occurs, like brand and advertising and above the line work and that type of thing. But when we think about the customer experience, because ultimately that's what most brands are attempting to drive, you know, really delivering great customer experience that results in measurable business impact, that primarily happens through digital channels now. And so as a marketer or a digital leader or a hybrid of the two, I mean, that in itself is a whole nother discussion. Data and technology plays a huge role. So the level and depth of understanding a marketer needs to have about that space is far greater than it ever has been. And actually, it's just compounding every single day because the MarTech space is constantly evolving and getting more and more complex. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the kind of Lumascapes and the, you know, all the technology vendors that a marketer now has access to. There's thousands upon thousands and, you know, the choice is endless, which on one hand is great, right? Lots of flexibility. On the other hand, for a marketer that's got 100 things to do, that space can become very, very confusing. And it's tough to find focus. Where should I focus? Where should I build? What skill sets do I need to build for myself, for my teams, for my organization? So the way that we talk about it at the Lumery is we've kind of consolidated the MarTech space into really thinking about six core functions when it comes to the people and process side of things. And it's not, you know, it doesn't aim to be everything a marketer should do, but really when you think about MarTech, and if you're on the journey to solve MarTech or leverage MarTech for your organization, these are the six things that we feel are the most important. So it starts with personalization and customer experience. Ultimately, that is, what is the experience you are attempting to deliver to your customer? What are those use cases? What are those campaigns? What are the channels that you want to use? And not just in a, you know, beautiful creative way that you stick on a wall, but, you know, getting down to the kind of tactics of, well, what data would I need? How would I develop content and assets around this, right? Because that is another huge area that marketers have to think about, the actual content creation and asset creation. So that's what personalization and CX is. The next is data and operations. Ultimately, everything that we are talking about is predicated on collecting, storing, activating, integrating data across the organization, right? When we think about the customer experience, it's not just marketing. It's service, it's sales, it's operations. So now we've really got to figure out how we harness data. And in the current environment, you know, where privacy is of the utmost importance, data governance is playing a huge role. There's more and more focus on how organizations collect, store, and manage customer data. It's of the utmost importance that any marketer that's attempting to deliver, you know, customer and brand experiences understands how data plays a role, right? How are they going to harness it well for their business objectives, but well for their customer, ensuring that they're kind of, you know, lining up to their customers' views of how they should be handling data. The third function is insights and attribution, right? How do I derive meaningful results from all the activity that I'm looking to deliver? You know, from this email campaign to this website test to this app launch to these display ads, and not just in the context of kind of opens and clicks and digital metrics, but how do you tie that all the way back to revenue, profitability, yield, real business metrics? Because ultimately, we're doing this to drive business impact, and so we need to ensure that we're creating the processes and integrating the tech and aligning our people to understand how do we attribute true value and true impact from all this activity. The fourth function is experimentation, and I think a lot of organizations in Australia are moving faster and faster towards the concepts of building test and learn, you know, into their culture, into their DNA. You look at the best technology companies around the globe, right? The Netflixes, the Facebooks, the LinkedIns. Test and learn, experimentation is at the core of their product development. And organizations, whether you're building product, whether you're a tech company, whether you're a retailer, you need to be able to build not just the culture of test and learn and kind of remove that fear of failure, but also identify how you're going to use the test and learn methodologies to bring new things to market, bring new things to your customers, right? That's a huge part of leveraging MarTech and kind of really adopting that experimentation mindset. The fifth one is direct communications, which is probably the one that's been around for so long, right? One-to-one marketing, email marketing, being able to deliver comms in those direct channels where you know the person's name, the person's email address, you can have a real direct conversation with that individual. And that still plays a huge role in MarTech. You know, often we hear that email is dying. I think we hear that every few years. It's not dead. It's constantly driving great customer experiences, but also impact for your business. And the final ones, the sixth function is how do we leverage all of that to now drive media effectiveness? You know, media is a huge part of the budgetary spend for most CMOs and marketers and organizations. The leveraging first-party data and all the things that you're doing within MarTech, how do I make my ad tech universe even more efficient and even more effective? So they're really the six functions that we talk about. So there's sounds like a lot, but if you're able to chunk it down and really break those out into the types of skill sets, the people, the processes, the technology that I need to drive those six functions, you start to kind of make sense of what can otherwise be a really daunting space.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the way that you've, as you say, chunk it up into those different functions. I also selfishly was excited to hear how often, you know, you said data being really about empowering a lot of those decisions and a lot of those functions, and how much marketers really now need to be comfortable with utilizing data in really important ways. Mm-hmm. When you say data in that sort of context, what types of data or what data sources, or, you know, what do you mean by data in those kind of spaces?
Yeah, it's a good question. Primarily we're talking about customer and interaction data. But you can kind of break that down into a bunch of different areas. There's the data that customers will give you that's quite explicit, and things like, you know, my name or my age or my address, my phone number, you know, things that are PII, you know, really, really profile-driven customer data. And organizations have been collecting that for years, right? That's nothing new. What is new and over the last few years is becoming more prominent is how do we securely collect and store and manage that data, which I think is a good thing, right? I think we as consumers want that, right? We want the brands that we interact with to manage our data in the appropriate ways. I guess when we think about MarTech and digital, the more interesting things come out when we think about interaction and behavioral data, right? So the web pages that you visit, the app screens that you view, the things that you click on, the things that you hover on, the emails that you open, the experiments that I bucket you in and are able to derive behavioral information about perhaps what you're interested in, what you're looking for. You know, those types of things become the most critical because that's now intent. And it's data that's happening in the moment. You know, we often have conversations with customers that are looking to build things like preference centers and forums, which have a place and a role to play. But they're a point in time. You know, when's the last time you filled out a preference center? I don't know.
I can't remember
last time I filled one out. Mm-hmm. But if I did fill one out, you know, that was my opinion at the time. So let's assume I filled it out 12 months ago. My views and my needs and my wants as a person, it's probably changed. And so, you know, as a brand, you can either ask me to fill out a preference center every few months and hope that that gives you up-to-date information, or you can get really, really good at tagging, at tracking and understanding behavior through all the signals that I as a consumer give you from all the times that I experience and interact with your brand. And that's where, you know, the leading organizations, the leading marketers, the leading digital organizations are focusing their attention. It's not the how do we ask about more data. It's how do I actually take advantage of all the things my customer is already telling me through their behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you're saying that because it's a lot of, you know, my work in the academic space has been in that similar vein of understanding that, you know, consumers change, right? So what someone tells you when they first sign up or what they, the kind of products they say they're interested in, changes over time. You know, my preferences have changed a lot recently, you know, had my first child a couple of years ago. And so I'm buying a lot of different kinds of products, and I haven't told any brand that, right? But they should know that based on what I'm buying at the checkout, what I'm searching for online. I think you're right. That's the real space of, we don't need consumers to tell us what we're interested in anymore. We know. They show us. You know,
they're telling us every time they interact with that brand what they're actually interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that segues really nicely into, you know, I know we both have a shared interest in retail as well. I know you have a lot of retail clients that you work with. What are the sort of, I guess, challenges or topics or things that you're finding you're working with your retail clients on commonly? What are the things that they're coming to you for assistance with, or what are you seeing in that space?
Yeah, I mean, look, initially the way that we work with our customers is really focusing on why they're looking to change. And ultimately, it's usually down to some form of growth objective. And for retailers especially, you know, loyalty, customer loyalty is at the heart of what they're trying to drive. And yes, clearly there's, you know, there's revenue objectives and there's product uptake and things like that. But more and more, we're really focusing on this concept of customer loyalty, right? Retention. And so kind of starting there, right? And so the challenges that they're facing, one is, you know, how do we make sure that we're understanding customer behavior better, right? And so, you know, one of the challenges unpacking, well, what do we need to ask and kind of get as explicit information versus what can we glean from behavior? And ultimately then, well, what technology, what data, how do we build around that idea and around that strategy, right? What are we missing in our stack or our processes that allows us to collect and store that information better? So that's one big part. And a lot of customers are moving towards, you know, customer data platforms and managing first-party data and being able to create this centralized view of customer. And it's different to, I want to be careful with the words, right? Not the single customer view where I can pull something up and see a person. It's not really what we're talking about. It's the idea of collection and orchestration of data across the organization so that it can be made available at the right time when it needs to be used for that particular purpose. So that's one big bucket. Another bucket is the constant challenge of offline, online attribution and data connectedness, right? So any retailer that has a store presence, you know, this is a huge challenge that they're trying to drive. And again, there's a number of ways that we're helping organizations to think about that, which is, well, you know, the challenge is ensuring that when a customer is in store, that they make themselves known, because that allows us to then connect it to the digital identity. And there's a number of tactics, right? There's loyalty programs, there's sign up in store, there's the collect the email address at POS. There's a number of tactics. But that's a huge challenge that organizations, retailers especially, are trying to solve for. I think the third is, and we do a lot of work in this space, it's, you know, back to those functions. It's around people and process as well, right? The kind of skill set focus. I think in this country we've got a shortage of talent that really focuses on this space, understands this space, has experience in this space, which is why things like this excite me, right? The fact that the Swinburne is really investing in terms of course and education, and bringing data and MarTech back to the core of that education, because this is kind of how businesses get done now. And so we're helping a lot of organizations on exactly that as well, which is, you know, guiding, educating, training, enabling, so that they're able to build that capability inside the brand, as opposed to continuing this big reliance on external parties to deliver this, because this is now core to business as opposed to something that you used to do on the side. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. We're, you know, as you say, we're having a lot of those same conversations and seeing a lot of retailers, you know, acknowledging that really they need that data and that really true understanding of the customer to compete now, right? And I think we see in America, like part of that dominance of Amazon is they have so many different systems and the ecosystem within which a consumer can interact that they can know almost everything about a particular customer. They know what you can buy for retail. They know what you're watching on your Amazon Prime. They know what you're listening to on your Amazon Music. They know now what your groceries are if you go to those Amazon Go stores. I think that true overarching being able to link customers across not only channels but different services, as I see such a major advantage, such a challenge for our retailers. And as you said, even that challenge of knowing that somebody has browsed for something online and then coming into store to make that purchase. If a retailer can make that connection, the opportunities to personalize the service to that customer are really phenomenal. But, I'm finding that a lot of those retailers still dealing with old legacy systems that are not necessarily in the same formats. They're not linking them very well. I mean, it's exciting to me that there's firms like yours who are trying to help bridge that gap.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the opportunity to speak to a number of, let's call them scale up retailers over the last few months, and so they're largely kind of pure play e-com retailers, and they're almost taking that next evolution when it comes to their marketing technology stack, because they've started the business, they've run it on platforms that they can support them get to a certain level, and now they're looking at, okay, how do we manage more customers, more data? How do we scale? And it's great because they don't have this big legacy spaghetti, system to unpack and figure out. And so, what a fantastic position to be in, because they can make those decisions. But I think interestingly, what they're doing is they're considering how they're going to use this data long term. And then they're making decisions now to support them to get there. And the challenges that a lot of, more mature retailers that do have those legacy systems, those legacy platforms is, I mean, this wasn't being thought about 10 or 15 years ago. So there is a lot to untangle. And so I think the approach there has to be with, well, yes, we do need to understand what we're trying to do long term, but we've got to be able to chunk that down that delivers meaningful kind of results and meaningful impact within shorter periods of time, and where are we going to make the most impact first? So let's get to work there, because it isn't going to be easy. It is going to take a lot longer. You're not a pure play e-com. There is legacy. You kind of just have to accept all of that and progress with what you can progress with.
Yeah, amazing. I really like your point there about understanding what you're going to use the data for. It's not just collecting data for data's sake. I mean, data in and of itself can have value, but really it's about what are you doing with it? What are the better services you're able to offer to your customers? Is it to be able to personalize better? What's the purpose of that data? Helps you design, as you said earlier, what you need to capture, how you need to capture it, and what you're going to do with it. Speaking of that,
I was just going to add, and I think back to the functions, right? Even the simplistic nature of email marketing, thinking about how you want to report and manage insights and attribution now allows you to understand, okay, well, what data do I need? How do I tag this? How do I collect it? Because I'm going to need to report on it at some point. So that mindset with everything you do as a marketer, will help you build all these data foundations over time and make it simpler and more efficient, in the future, right?
Yeah. And look, speaking of the future, I mean, being at, seeing how far it's evolved, seeing the challenges, but all of the opportunities that you mentioned, what do you see as the big trends or the big opportunities in sort of the short to medium term future for retailers, whether that be around data, MarTech, just generally? I mean, what's your future outlook?
I think we're seeing a lot of focus and attention. So when we think about the MarTech stack, traditionally marketers have played at the kind of channel layer and above. So, once we've got everything into the platforms, how do we deliver the experience, deliver the emails, deliver the website experiences, deliver the comms? What we are seeing, and this is a good thing, because ultimately it starts with data, like we've been saying the whole time, is the focus move further down the stack. How do we collect all this data? How do we, manage identity resolution? How do we activate this across the ecosystem? Because I want to use this data not just for email, but I want to use it for my call center for the purposes of service. I want to use it in the website for the purposes of experimentation. I need to feed it to my BI platform because I'm going to have to report on it at some point. You know, making all those decisions. So what we're seeing is more and more focus lower to the stack, which is where the data is kind of really being collected and managed and originated and, you know, activated across the ecosystem. And with that, you know, there's trends in technology, right? So customer data platforms, managing first party data is a huge trend right now. And is effectively what we as digital leaders and marketers have been intending to do for a very, very long time. You know, really create this space in the organization that helps us orchestrate customer data in a single place. And so that's starting from a tech perspective, really becoming a reality, which is exciting. And so a lot of organizations investing in that area. Secondly, I think we're seeing, especially with kind of lockdowns and people not being able to physically, you know, go to stores, more and more focus on app and how the app ties into MarTech. Because previously, it's always been quite separate. You know, you kind of develop your application to the side. There's another team that's running it. It's not really tied into the MarTech stack. But now we're seeing the app firmly part of the experience. You know, we're thinking about tagging and data collection and analytics and attribution and being able to deliver experiences through the app as well as just another experience touch point. And I think this is becoming really interesting for retailers who are looking for other ways to connect where you don't have that physical connection. But then, I mean, tied to the third point is that becomes a really interesting point of being able to tie that offline, online spaces together, right? You know, location tracking, those types of things become really critical and really interesting when you're able to tie those data points together. So they're kind of, I guess, you know, main trends we're seeing. But ultimately, it's all about data, right? It's still about data. It's about how we collecting it, managing it, storing it, activating it. And that's where we're seeing most organizations really placing most of their focus. Which is, again, a great thing because that's the core of everything we're attempting to do. If you want to deliver personalization at scale, customer experience, digital transformation, you know, whatever buzzword you want to put on it, it starts with data. And so as an organization, if you can really figure that part out, that's the biggest part of this challenge.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much for that. Raj, conscious of time, I'll let you get back to going to solve all of those big data challenges for your clients. Before you go, where can people find more about you, about the Lumery, some of those insights and trends that you were mentioning?
Yeah, head to the website, lumery.com. There's a link to our blog where we're constantly posting kind of case studies and articles. So have a look at that. And then, yeah, hit me up on LinkedIn if anyone wants to connect and ask questions. Always happy to, you know, connect with students and have a chat about what's happening in the space. So Rajan Kumar on LinkedIn, happy to connect.
Perfect. And we'll, of course, tag you in everything that we share about this. So thank you again for taking the time and look forward to chatting more soon.
Thanks for the chat.